Because we are attending a Thanksgiving service, the scriptures that we have read and the scriptures that we have heard have encouraged us with reminders of the many things for which we should offer thanks. The psalm reading reminded us of answered prayer, of the forgiveness of sins, and of the blessing of God's presence. For these lavish gifts from God, we offer thanks. The Old Testament reading reminded us that as God's people, we are promised one day a land with overflowing brooks of water, a land of fountains and springs, a land with abundant fields of wheat and barley and grains, a land where all inhabitants will have more than enough clean water and sustaining food. For the promise of a world where no one is hungry or thirsty or sick, for the promise of a world where all things have been made new, for the promise of this new world, we offer thanks. We have many reasons to offer thanks in the year 2008. My question this evening that I would like to ask, though, is why? What is the reason for the many reasons we have to offer thanks? What is the reason we have a certain hope this Thanksgiving of a world one day where pain and sorrow and hunger and thirst and sickness and death will be but a distant memory? Loved ones, the reason for the reasons we have to be thankful is divine. The reason behind the reasons for Thanksgiving is ultimately our God who loves. More specifically, as Christians, we love the God whose nature it is to love. He cannot help but love. It is who he is. Love is basic to the nature of God. So when God loves, it is appropriate for us to say, as his people, that is just God being God. The reason we have reasons to be thankful is because our God loves by nature. As Christians, we also believe that the fullest revelation of who God is was given to the world through the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. All that he said and did declared to this broken world, this is what God is like. As Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son and is therefore of the same essence as the Father. He is, as the Creed says, very God of very God. So when we come to worship gatherings at our different churches each week and we hear the record of the words and the works of Jesus Christ read to us, we can say to ourselves and to each other, that's what God is like. That is just God being God. So what I would like to do briefly this evening in the moments we have together is reflect on one thing that Jesus said and one thing that Jesus did, always remembering that the words and works of Jesus are the words and works of God. So when we look at the life and ministry and teaching of Jesus, we can say to ourselves, that's God being God. One of my favorite sayings of Jesus is one that he made to his followers, and it's not a very popular one. It's very simple, but I think if we think about this statement, we will see the beauty of its simplicity. In John 21:12, Jesus says these words to his disciples, "Come and have breakfast." Do I have any fans of breakfast here? I mean, breakfast to me, if you have a good breakfast, you know, the rest of the day just goes better. And, you know, if you have breakfast with other pastors from Salmonok, it's even better, even when Kirk makes us toasted waffles and toasted pancakes. It's still good. Even though when I take him out for breakfast, I take him to a restaurant. But we'll forgive Kirk for that. Anyway, back to the sermon. John, the beloved disciple, records for us one of the few sayings we have from Jesus after his resurrection. And if we reflect for a few moments, we realize the simple beauty of Jesus making breakfast for his disciples at this point in their journey together. Luke tells us these disciples were so magnificent in their faithfulness to Jesus that when he called a prayer meeting before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked them to pray for one thing, you know what these great followers of Jesus, the foundation upon which the church of Jesus Christ is built, did? They fell asleep. John has already recorded the works of this not too impressive group. Among the exploits that John records for us, he records the denial of Peter. Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And in spite of their weakness, in spite of their lack of faith, in spite of their failures, Jesus makes them breakfast, and Jesus invites them to have breakfast with him. Now, after a moment of reflection, we remember that all Jesus said and all Jesus did was so this broken world would know that's what God is like. So when Jesus makes breakfast for weak, broken failures, we can say, that's just God being God. So that's a reflection on one of the things Jesus said. Let's reflect on at least one of the divine things Jesus did. Also from John's Gospel, we read in John 19:30, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Among the many divine acts John records for us, this has to be ranked one of the most significant and one of the most scandalous when we remember that all Jesus said and did was so this world would know that is what God is like. As Christians, we believe, according to the creed, that Jesus was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. The death and resurrection of Jesus form the climactic scene in the story God is telling throughout history. We sinners are represented quite well in John's telling of this climactic scene. We are portrayed as the ones twisting for him a crown of thorns, of mocking him, of spitting in his face, of cheering for his crucifixion, and of rejoicing with the verdict. But hope is found amidst the anguish, because we hear the voice of Jesus caring for his mother, promising paradise to a common criminal, and finally praying for the forgiveness of his killers. After a moment of reflection, we remember that all Jesus said and did was so this broken world would know this is what God is like. So when Jesus embraces with forgiveness those who seek to kill him, we can say, that's just God being God. Because the true God is the God revealed in Jesus, we have reason to be thankful. The God revealed in Jesus is the God who loves. It is his nature to love. He cannot help but love, because love is who he is. One of the reasons I am especially thankful to God this Thanksgiving is because of my children. Silas is my 19-month-old son, and having a son after having two daughters has been quite revealing. Now, I've always been a little unsure of this statement that I would often hear from parents: boys will be boys. You know, I've always been a little bit unsure of that statement, and I don't really want to settle how debatable that statement is tonight, but it's amazing to me what this allows boys to get away with. A boy can be caught climbing on furniture. Boys will be boys. A boy could be caught pulling his sister's hair. Boys will be boys. A boy could be caught putting his bowl of oatmeal in the DVD player. Boys will be boys. A boy could be caught totaling the car. burning the house down, severing his left arm. And we could say, boys will be boys. And I personally think girls everywhere should protest the statement. And again, I don't want to debate whether or not this is true, but yet that statement reflects a belief. A belief that there is something inherent about the male gender that makes them more prone to accidents and violence and mischief. And again, I'm not here to settle the truth or the falsehood of that statement. However, as Christians, there's something that isn't so debatable for us. God loves because it's inherent to who he is. We all, when Jesus asks us to stay awake to pray, fall asleep. We all deny him when we promise him we wouldn't. But when we fail him, when we do things like we do each and every day, he loves us anyway. Because it's who he is. He can't help but love us. It's in his nature. So this Thanksgiving, and as we approach Advent and Christmas season, when we are reminded of the failures, of the times when we are particularly unlovable, be encouraged, people of God. He loves you anyway, because that is his nature. So when he loves you and me in spite of our failures, we don't have to be concerned about whether or not he loves us in our failures. We can be encouraged, because when he loves you and me, we can say with confidence, that's just God being God. Amen.